Welcome to Career Tools. This week, the high S in desk and teamwork weaknesses, part one. The questions this cast answers are, as a high S, how might I be hurting my relationship with my team? As a high S, what behaviors should I stop doing to improve my relationship with my teammates? And as a high S, what behaviors should I start doing to improve my relationship with my teammates? This is one of a series of casts about DISC, and we're going to put this short explanation in each time before the casts because not everybody knows what DISC is. So if you don't know or you want to find out more about it from Manager Tools, you can listen to this. And if you've already heard it, you can just skip to the cast.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And folks, DISC is a self-assessment that measures how you naturally behave when interacting with other individuals, at least. When you're not thinking about it. William Marsden identified four behavioral styles back in 1928. They were dominance, influence, steadiness, and conscientiousness, a la DISC. And since then, many companies have developed DISC assessments, including us here at Manager Tools. But MT-DISC itself differs from many of the other assessments. It's more than an assessment. It's an eye-opening, game-changing, career-accelerating revelation.
And I think we say that because all of us here have found it to be that when we found it the first time.
Oh, yeah.
It certainly was for me. So we have three podcasts which describe each of the styles, D, I, S, and C. And we have podcasts that describe how each of the styles act in particular situations, like the one that's about to follow. And we will link to them from all of the podcasts in this series. But first, you have to know what your profile is. So?
The MT-DISC assessment starts with a 20-minute online questionnaire. It's very affordable. All you're going to do is answer 28 questions about your preferences, and you'll be delivered a customized 40-page-ish, they're all different lengths, I think, report unpacking your strengths, weaknesses, and tendencies in clear and actionable behavioral language. No theories, no psychobabble. The MT-DISC report will give you tailored insights to help you in terms of your communication behaviors.
And what I really like about DISC and our reports in particular is they're a language you understand because there's no psychobabble, and they're super simple to remember and communicate with other people about. So if there's a bunch of you that learn it, you're all talking the same language very quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The power of MT-DISC lies in what follows, because unlike other DISC tools, your report compares your styles to the other profiles with specific guidance on adapting your communication behaviors so that you can collaborate more effectively. And when you apply them, that's when you see how MT-DISC transforms your relationships.
Mm-hmm. Because, folks, the thing about it is, it doesn't actually matter what your natural tendencies are, because your natural tendencies are ones you can change anytime you want to change them, which will, in turn, be the theme of this series of podcasts and everything else, basically, that you hear from Manager Tools. With MT-DISC, you'll learn how to adapt your natural communication style to achieve effective outcomes in every interaction.
And people are everywhere, so you can practice all the time.
All the time. Constant.
If you'd like to find out what your DISC profile is, you can just go to the website and purchase it for yourself or an entire team. You can buy in bulk through the website and have the option to distribute to your whole department or a company. And like I said, when everybody, a whole organization, understands the MT-DISC language, it's amazing how much it impacts communication and collaboration.
Mm-hmm. And there are a wealth of other resources on our website as well that will help you continue this path of better workplace relationships. So there's the Effective Relationship podcast series, which is a deep dive on tactics for working with bosses and direct reports of all DISC styles, from driving dominant individuals to supportive steadiness individuals. Through real workplace scenarios, you're going to learn what to say and what to do to be more successful.
And then we have a training called the Effective Communicator, and we have a bunch of ways in which we deliver it to fit your budget and your availability. So we have a video product as an on-demand and low-cost option. And then, Sarah, you delivered all of the others.
Yeah, exactly. We have live, virtual, delivered over Zoom. It's a one session. Oh, it's quite a long session. I think it's like 4.5 hours, somewhere in around there. And I mean, we deliver it internationally, in person as well. It's a whole day event.
But people can sign up just a sort of open enrollment. Anyone can come to our public sessions, but you also will go to companies for groups, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you have got a group of individuals in your organization that could all use better communications as a group together, because why not? We all could. We also do come on site as well to work with organizations, groups of people, to help them as an organization, department, company, communicate better together.
MT Disc delivers insights that empower you to transform communication and collaboration. And those personalized assessments and actionable reports are just the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So set yourself up in your workplace up, I should say, for success by purchasing an MT Disc profile as well as any of the coaching and training on our website today. Invest in yourself, break down barriers, and propel your career forward. MT Disc is really a revelation for many people and the secret to a positive communication and teamwork environment within your organization.
This is the third in a series of casts about DISC, and we work around the circle. We always work in the order of DISC, so the S's always come third. And we want to tell you, the same as we've told everybody else, every DISC profile has its strengths and weaknesses. And depending on the situation and the people in the room, the natural behaviors of one or other of the profiles can be more or less effective in achieving whatever it is you want to achieve. But that doesn't mean that only a high D can achieve the objective if it's the high D behaviors that are most effective in achieving that objective. Because anybody can behave any way they like if they think about it first. Even a high S can act like a high D if they really think about it and, you know, steel themselves.
Yes, exactly. Take a really deep breath.
Yes, they can act like a high D and get that objective. And in this guidance, we're going to talk about the things that high S's do naturally that actually work against them in a team environment, which most people would think that high S's don't have any behaviors that work against them in a teamwork environment because high S's are built for
teams.
They're
the ultimate team player.
Exactly. But surprisingly, there are some, and that's what we're going to cover.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. So today's outline for, I suppose, the next 2 days, today and next week, because this is probably going to be two parts in length. We're going to start by discussing mastering your weaknesses, then speak up, followed by murder the unchosen alternative, address conflict, and take action. So we're going to begin with mastering your weaknesses. And as Wendy just mentioned, we would think, I mean, it would be logical to think that the high S's really don't have weakness when it comes to team activities because they are the ultimate team player. But in terms of the high S, like all the other profiles, they've got them. And folks, it's not enough to know the weaknesses of a high S in any situation. You've got to know them and know your own particular flavor of them, because after all, we're not letters, we're people, which means we all have a little different variation of these behaviors. And when we know our version of the behaviors, we can then mitigate them in the moment in order to be as effective as is possible in a specific situation.
So let's start by talking about high S's and their natural behavior. So DISC is not a personality test. First of all, it's not a test because you can't fail it.
Yeah.
And it's not personality because we're not trying to get into your heads. It's a study of the behavior, which is the stuff we see and hear. So we can see and hear behavior in three ways: verbal, vocal, and visual. And if we look at people, we can see that they fall into four groups as far as those characteristics are concerned. If we look at them, there are task-focused and assertive people.
Those are the high D's.
There are people-focused and assertive people.
The high I's.
There are people-focused and reserved people.
The S's, the ones we're talking about today.
And the task-focused and reserved people.
The C's.
And each of those show a different set of verbal, vocal, and visual signs.
Mm-hmm. So, again, today's about the high S. High S is people-focused, meaning that in any conversation, they focus on the people involved before getting the task itself done. They're reserved, meaning they believe and act as if they don't have the power to change their environment. So, a better explanation would be a high S in a room full of people doesn't think that their feelings and thoughts outweigh that of the other people in the room. So, for example, if they're a little bit chilly and they would prefer the temperature be turned up, they wouldn't expect that the temperature be changed because that's what they'd like to see happen. They believe that the other people in the room are just as valid in their feelings as they are, and therefore the temperature, because it is apparently comfortable for everyone else, will stay as such. Now, the high D's and the high I's will absolutely believe that you should change the temperature to match our current feelings. So that's the difference between high S's versus the more assertive people, being that high S's are reserved.
A high S would just go and get a blanket or a sweater or whatever, whereas a high D just assumes that everybody else must be cold if they are and changes the temperature.
Yeah, exactly. They walk over and they just actively change it, even though they received many emails from Sarah telling them the room will be cold. They still insist on asking the hotel staff to change the temperature against my will.
A high D is why the temperature controls in hotel rooms, in hotel ballrooms, have those plastic covers over.
That's exactly it. It's because of the high D. They've one too many times pressed all of the buttons and completely screwed up the HVAC system so deeply that even the engineers can't figure out what buttons they pushed in what order. That would be the D. But going back to the high S, generally high S's want to make sure everyone is comfortable. And if everyone is content and untroubled, then they are in the best state for getting good work done.
And we see their reserved nature in their behavior too. So high S's talk about we and you and not I.
Yes.
They focus on you and other people, not themselves. They ask about how you are. And if you ask them, how are you? They'll say, oh, I'm great. And how was your weekend? They just almost automatically turn it back to you.
A lot of questions. Generally, a lot of questions from an S.
Yeah. They talk about who, and they talk about specific names and feelings instead of data or facts or processes or roles or logic or rationale. And none of those things come into a high S's consideration when they're making a decision. It's all about who and how people feel and comfort. And high S's chat a lot about people, and they expect you to chat too. It's not like the high I who expects a kind of a quid pro quo on the gossip, in inverted commas. It's not quite
like
gossip.
Feisty, like back and forth, like sharing ideas in a very loud and exaggerated fashion. Yes. Not like that.
It's not like that. For a high S, it's a sort of...
Come, sit down. How are you? Yeah. Are you cold? I have an Afghan. Did you want an Afghan?
Yeah.
It's that.
It is. And if you're not talking about other people, do you not care about other people? Because that would be weird to me. It's that. It's a confusion about your humanity if you're not chatting about people. And high eyes are not only surprised, they are hurt if you get straight to the point. When a high D says, hi, have you got that report? Or even not, hi. If they say, have you got that report? The high I is shocked and hurt by that. It's like, did you not see me? Like, did you not ask how I am? Do you not know that today is Wednesday and I have a really tough morning on a Wednesdays? And you should have, like, it's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm so sorry, Wendy. I want to interject. In that last sentence you said, twice you said hi, I.
Oh, gosh. Hi,
yes,
S.
No, it's okay. Folks, given the fact that we're recording many of these different profile casts, one after the other, and Wendy's writing all of them, it means that the letters replace themselves in your mind as you're talking. I mean, they just swap themselves magically. No, she meant the high S. The high S, they do. They get their feelings hurt if people start the conversation immediately. Hey, where are we on the project?
Mm-hmm.
Before you say, hi, good morning. How are you? How was your evening? I love that sweater, right? Like that warm up, that dialogue first.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I have an image, and I actually, when I was writing this, I looked it up. If you know who Mrs. Tiggy Winkle is.
Ooh, I've never heard of that.
It's a series of books. Now I can't remember the author's name. But if you look up Mrs. Tiggy Winkle, she's a hedgehog and she did the laundry and she's very soft and sweet.
Okay.
And very contained and very caring about people. And she always makes me think of hyacinths. Yeah.
I think Mr. Rogers.
Yeah. Hyacinths will share their relationships with you and they're pleased when you share their your relationships with them. They're like, oh, you were nice enough to share your friend with me. I feel honored that you did that. They will listen to you no matter what it is you're going to tell them, just because you are telling them.
Yeah, whereas it's important enough to you to tell me. It's important enough to me to listen.
Exactly. A high D is like, why are you telling me this? And yeah, I don't
have time.
Yeah, whatever. Whereas a high S is, yes, if you want to tell me, I want to listen.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So from a vocal perspective, the high S's talk more slowly and more softly than other styles, but they also talk long, similar to the high I's. Now, high S's don't interrupt. They wait till they're absolutely sure that you've finished saying what you want to say. And they might even, before they begin to say what they want to say, pause for a moment and say, are you done?
Mm-hmm.
To go on. Additionally, something that I've noticed is those individuals in the world that apologize when they're interrupted are your high S's, because they speak slowly and softly. Again, they don't want to interrupt you. And as an individual who does not want to interrupt another, they speak in such a way that there are pauses, allowing the other person to interject.
Mm-hmm.
If you say things slowly with a lot of pauses in it, the other person has opportunities to speak without having to interrupt you.
Mm-hmm.
Because to a high S, after all, interrupting would be a horrible thing to have to do. Which is why when high S's are speaking and you interrupt, they often say, I'm sorry.
Yes.
In that, I'd have left a pause there if I would have known that you wanted to say something then, but I didn't realize you might want to say something then, so that's on me, kind of way, right? That is your high S's. They also tend to agree or find something to agree with while you're talking, even if they don't truly agree with what you're saying. They'll kind of latch onto that one piece that they can get on board with. And they'll share their feelings and what they think with the rest of the team. They'll also ask you about your feelings and ask you to share your feelings as well. High S's additionally make small gestures, less eye contact, but they face you and listen very attentively. When you enter the room, in their office, for example, if they're turned around, they will stop what they're doing and turn around and face you. Hi, how are you? Please sit. A high S.
My best friend is a high S. And when I have dinner with her, I feel like I talk 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel bad because she doesn't interrupt and I do. And I'm a high D and I will talk and she doesn't interrupt me. And I always say, I'm so sorry. I didn't listen to anything. And she says, no, I had a lovely time. Okay. So a high S's behaviors make perfect sense to a high S, because all of our own behaviors make perfect sense to us. But some of those behaviors are detrimental to working in a team. For example, if you are a high S, other people don't always describe you as agreeable and easy to work with. Sometimes they say you're hard to work with because you won't make a decision or you don't wholeheartedly support a decision that's been made. They see your cautiousness as holding them back, just when the team needs to surge forward, which is probably shocking to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's baffling to an individual how others could see them that way, because that's, of course, never our intent.
No.
It's not our intent to hold people back or hold ideas back. The high S wants nothing more than to help people get forward. And as a high S, remember, you avoid conflict and you tell yourself that it's better for the team to avoid the pain and drama. Of course, conflict is something that causes more pain and drama, so the avoidance of it is so good. Consistent conflict avoidance, though, leads to resentment, frustration, and contempt. It causes communication to break down and leads to distance in your relationships, which is, again, the exact opposite of what you're trying to achieve.
Those negatives, like I said, they probably come to a shock as a shock to you because your intention was never to harm anybody. It was always the best interest of the team. And the good news is you can mitigate them. And in this guidance, we're going to talk about some of the behaviors that might be damaging your relationship with the team. And those are not speaking up in public or at the right time, not supporting change because you're not or you don't feel that everybody is ready, not dealing with conflict, and not taking action.
Mm-hmm. So we'll start with speak up because I'm quite good at it. So I might as well. Yes. I don't see why not. Okay, so it doesn't matter whether you're comfortable with speaking up or not in any particular situation. Everyone on a team has a professional obligation to share their thoughts, opinions, and ideas so that the best decisions can be made. The team is not best served by you keeping your thoughts and ideas to yourself. It's served even better by you speaking up and saying what you think.
And you don't have to be loud and obnoxious like the high D's and high I's.
Wow, burn, Wendy.
I know. But from my S's point of view, we are loud and obnoxious.
Yeah, we are a lot.
In fact, there are high S's, we know, my best friend is one of them, who are the quiet power center in any room they're in. It's clear there is a discussion and then everybody turns to them to hear their thoughts before a decision is made. And that comes from the number of times a high S has been willing to speak up previously, and it turned out that their contribution was pivotal. But they had to be willing to speak up in all of those times before and for everybody to learn that their contribution was the one that turned out to be, oh, we didn't think of that, or, oh, yeah, that's the one we should do. You know, everybody had to learn that in order for them to have that quiet power.
Mm-hmm. And I know that the guidance we're releasing today is for high S's and not necessarily for managers, but could be for managers. Something to keep in mind, if you're listening to this and you are a manager of a high S, during group conversations, watch their facial expression. Sometimes there'll be that, I don't know if when I say that glimmer of they want to say something, but because there are so many people in the room saying a bunch of things, they don't say it. If you realize that there's an individual who keeps having this facial expression like, I want to say something, but no words come out, try just creating space in the room for them. They're like, oh my gosh, pause, guys, just a second. It looks like Wendy has something to say. Wendy? And just give them the mic because this, what Wendy was just explaining, this number of reps that are required to prove your ideas are valid is something that takes time to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And only on behalf of an individual S happens if you speak up enough times to learn this valuable lesson. If you're not high S, managing a high S, help them get those reps more quickly by creating space in the room.
And if you're another profile and you are the peer of an S and you want to help them out, like be a team player, watch your high S friend and, you know, and make sure that they get to speak or turn to them and say, hey, what's your opinion?
Mm-hmm. Because the fact of the matter is, again, we're talking high S's today. High S's, your ideas are as valuable as anyone else's ideas. Even if you're the most junior person on the team, your thoughts have merit. You wouldn't be a member of the team if you didn't add value. And when you don't speak up, the quality of the output that your team is receiving is reduced. So speak up.
And the risks you see are real. You see issues that the high D's and C's don't see. There are issues with their proposals that are blind spots, that are flashing neon to you. When you don't speak up, the whole team is at risk. you know, when there's a change management thing, you know, we're going to change the system. And the high D's and C's are like, yeah, but see, it's a process. So we're going to change the process from A, B, C to A, B, F, and G. And it's a process. So we're just going to tell everyone they're going to do this. And the high S's are like, whoa, are you going to, no, like, you need to give people warning and you need to tell them how to do it. And you need to, and they, if you don't say that out loud, the high D's and high C's think it's just a process. And so why would we want to tell people ahead of time? They'll be fine. Yeah. They just follow the new process. Mm-hmm. So if you don't say those things out loud, nobody else is going to.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And this isn't just about saying something, anything. It's also about the timing of your speaking up. Speak up before the decision is made. You have to speak up in the moment. You can caveat, to be clear, what you say if you want to, but don't let that moment pass without saying something. So for example, you're in a meeting, you're with the marketing team, and they're planning a product launch with a new website on the 1st of July. But when you walked through the IT department this morning, you're pretty sure that you saw a whiteboard that said the new website was going to launch on the 1st of August, not July. And that is something that is big enough that you need to say something about it. So what we would suggest you say, or something you could say, is, hey, has somebody checked with IT to make sure they have the same date as us? When I walked through there this morning, I'm pretty sure that they had the website launch on the whiteboard as the 1st of August. And I don't think there's another website launch as far as I know. And maybe I misread it, but I think it would be a pretty big deal if we're not on the same page. So you can say it in a way that's not confrontational. That's a question. You're more asking, like, hey, are we sure? Because you may have misread the board. Mm-hmm. Or someone in IT wrote the wrong date on the board. And if that's the case, then nothing's lost. But if the marketing team has the actual wrong date and they're planning for the release of a website a month before it's actually going to happen, that's a big deal. And now you saying something is a huge win.
Mm-hmm. And being the person who knew in 3 months when that thing launches, or even in 2 months when marketing and IT discover they had different dates and you knew, that's the worst position to be in. Far better to say something and be wrong and than not to say something and have known. That's so weird.
I don't know. Maybe this is just me. Again, I'm not a high S. So I, as a high D, am having to reverse engineer it and try and figure out why this might happen. And I have a feeling, which isn't data of any sort whatsoever, but I have a feeling that sometimes high S's don't want to say something because they don't want to embarrass the person mm-hmm. who's speaking in public by saying, wait a minute, I think that's wrong. Mm-hmm. So stop thinking of your statements, your questions in this case. Stop thinking your questions as pointing out another person's flaws, rather as helping another person improve. Because sometimes it's just the way you package it, right? It's the way you think about it. It's not pointing out an error. It's bringing to their attention something they actually may not know.
And you don't have to be right. That's the other thing I think. Maybe they think, I can't call someone out unless I'm 100% right, which is not true either. You know, if you read the board wrong and it turns out you read it wrong, okay.
Oops.
But, oh, yeah.
It happens. People read whiteboards wrong all the time.
It's no big deal. You just have to let it go. Even if it's a big issue, you can avoid outright disagreement by first asking questions. So let's say someone is proposing to cut the benefits long-time customers get. You can say, may I ask some questions? And ask questions about the details of the proposal. And maybe that will give you something smaller than the whole proposal to oppose. So for example, you might find that the savings have been miscalculated. And so somebody else will say, wait a minute, this proposal doesn't make sense unless that number's 10,000 or whatever. Or maybe they've calculated that it's the number of customers doesn't make sense or whatever. And maybe there's something smaller. Rather than disagreeing with the whole proposal, you can find something that's less rather than say you're wrong on the whole thing,
right.
Say, I don't think that bit's going to work. So maybe you want to rework your proposal.
Mm-hmm. And folks, if you have to, you can say, I disagree. I disagree is a full sentence. As long as you say it in a calm tone and one that's loud enough to be heard, don't mutter it under your voice, I disagree, so that no one can hear it. But don't also raise your voice and say, I disagree. Because, I mean, it's all in how you say it, right?
Yeah.
Remember, when you're at work, 99% of what's going on is not personal. You're not disagreeing with who someone is, but an idea or an approach. And that's not inherently an attack. Frankly, the D's and C's don't think work is personal at all. So they're not even taking it as something that could be misconstrued as a negative. In fact, they think I disagree is just a statement of fact. You disagree, and that can be accurate while we still do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, don't think of it as an attack. You can say it kindly and nicely, and it won't be taken as poorly, I'm going to say, as you might think it will be. Because that's the fear, right? That's of course, the concern. I say I disagree, and then it turns into this whole, I'm going to say argument, just to kind of color the conversation, this whole argument, and that's not necessarily how it's going to play out. That's just how your mind thinks it probably is.
Yeah.
That's all.
Remember, the high D's think exactly opposite to you. So whereas you think I disagree is a huge insult, the high D's think it's a statement of fact. Like, they are having an intellectual argument. This is not personal at all. And if you are comforting yourself and thinking that, Wendy and Sarah, I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have a one-on-one conversation with them in private afterwards with a teammate. You're giving yourself false comfort because there are conversations which are better held in private between managers and directs, usually sometimes between peers. But if the team is having a discussion about a decision or about what to do with the product or how they're going to solve a problem, or they're sharing ideas, then your thoughts, your contribution should be in public with everybody else's. If you have that conversation one-on-one later on, what you're doing is creating a back channel, and that is detrimental to the team communication and the team cohesion. If everybody is putting forward their thoughts and their ideas, then that's where your thoughts and ideas belong too. Because if you don't put your thought, if you put your thought in then it might stimulate somebody else's thought, and therefore all that whole thread is lost if you wait until after the meeting.
That's exactly it. And I would go a step further, Wendy, because I'm thinking to myself about virtual meetings, mm-hmm. like Zoom or Microsoft Teams or whatever tool of your choice. Sometimes the back channel being created isn't one that waits till after the meeting. Sometimes it's a version of direct messaging people while we're all supposed to be engaged in a group conversation to talk to that person, which feels like, again, it feels like the right thing. It feels like, oh, well, I don't want to say something in the meeting and embarrass a person or call them out or whatever it feels like. So what I've found is highest is start to instant message individuals, causing themselves and another individual to be disengaged from the purpose of the meeting, coming to a group agreement because two people are now, let's call it multitasking, and distracted doing something different. But again, I know high S's don't mean for that to be the case.
No, they're trying to be polite and they're getting it wrong.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Canada, we're headed up north. May 21st and 22nd, you can come see us in Vancouver. We're hosting an EMC and ECC. If you want training on how to be a good manager or a good communicator, we have those things just for you. Consider this your official invite to Vancouver, May 21st and 22nd. Sign up online at manager-tools.com/training.
Because speaking up is such a challenge for you, we're going to leave it there for this week and give you a week to practice. And we'll be back next week with the three other things that you can do.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.